This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And you can even subscribe to this good old program, Jeffrey, on iTunes.
Good.
So this is actually the first time that we've done one of these since we've been at 104.1 The Truth. It's called a remote.
Yes, we're at a remote.
We're at a remote.
A remote location.
Yeah.
Does anyone have the clearance to know where we are?
No, we're in a secret bunker somewhere in a mountain range in the middle of...
Now we're in trouble.
Now we're really in trouble.
Now they figured out we shouldn't be here, and they're sending in the MPs to haul us away.
That's right. So we are actually... at one of the coolest places in community, one of the coolest places, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and we're hanging out with some of the fighter pilots here that protect not only our skies, but our freedoms across this country and across the world.
But not just the fighter pilots. We got airmen here, too.
Well, they're all airmen, technically.
Well, but do you think our listeners know that?
No, we'll have a little bit of an education down the line.
Yeah, do you think that if we talk to anybody today from Ohio... that might be in the military for a couple generations, that maybe doesn't fly a fighter plane, that they wouldn't know that his job is just as important?
Probably more important in some ways. So anyways...
Don't get him in trouble, Fred.
Yeah, right. Okay, so before we get going, we've got a couple announcements, some typical house cleaning. In a couple weeks, Jeff, we still need team members... squad members for the Beat Cancer Boot Camp Challenge. We just need one more.
We've been asking people to do this
for the
last month and a half. If they're not going to do it...
Well, they're just waiting for the last minute. That's how we are in Tucson.
That's how we are in Tucson. You're
so
right.
So March 16th at 7:30 a.m., that's a Saturday, this is the Beat Cancer Boot Camp at Brandy Fenton Park, and it's a 3K obstacle course. And actually, I don't know if these guys are responsible for it, but there are some folks from DM, law enforcement agencies across the valley. I think Secret Service, the FBI, they're all putting obstacle courses out for people to go through, and it all culminates in a huge mud pit that you have to crawl through to get out and finish the course. So I know, Jeff, you...
I'm really looking forward to the mud pit part.
I don't even know if you've registered yet.
I thought you were going to register me.
No, I registered for me.
Oh, so then no, I am not registered yet. So maybe you need more team members than you thought you did.
Yeah, but you already promised, so
yeah,
there we go.
I'm in.
This is for Dad. April 12th, the Copa Room, Angel Charity Poker Casino and Sports Book, big fundraiser for Angel Charities. And it's a big poker tournament, and I have no idea where it's at, but is that it?
No, this is for
something else.
Yeah, I got something else.
But we'll be giving you more details. And if you go to fredandjeff.com and check on the current events button, we'll have links to this spectacularly fun event for Angel Charities for Men.
Right. And
or the men's group for Angel Charities.
Right. What else you got?
Last thing, I know you love this, Jeff.
But it's not the last thing.
The Roller Derby Brats.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Are having a interstate conference on March 16th and 17th. So these are the little... Derby girls.
Is that interstate or intrastate?
Interstate.
Ah, okay.
Because multiple states.
Oh, so it's not just Arizona.
No. Okay. From New Mexico, looks from California, and actually Colorado. So the little Derby Brats will be rollerblading or derbying over at the Rec House over, I think, on Valencia. But again, go to fredandjeff.com and you can get all the information on the Derby Brats. Now, Jeffrey, I think you have something.
Yeah, you know, our buddy Dave Sitton, who will be following our program with his 3 hours of power appointment radio, which we hope you all continue to stay tuned for, because that's good stuff. Dave sent me some information on the Arizona Rugby Golf Tournament, Strong and Tough Golf Tournament, the 15th annual. It's going to be at Arizona National Golf Club, and it is, I just saw the date. What the heck, Jeff? It's Friday, April 13th at the Arizona National. And we've got one more Victory Era, a rugby match, Saturday, March 10th at 2 o'clock, the inaugural Era Parsegian Cup match, which pits the Arizona rugby team versus the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Should be a lot of fun. I bet you there a beer or two will be drank at that event.
Probably.
Yeah. So folks, please put those on your calendar to help support not only the Era Parsegian Cup match, but the Arizona rugby team, two quality organizations here in the Old Pueblo.
And another quality organization that we love supporting is Right Flight. And we have the executive director with us, Robin Stoddard, also known as Spidey.
How's it going, lads?
Very good. How you doing, Robin?
Good. Hey, want your community to know, if they saw some airplanes flying the last two Saturdays over Tucson, we flew about 60 10- and 11-year-olds in our program, all safely and successfully. They all had to raise their grades in school. They earned the right to fly a Wright Flight airplane named after the Wright brothers because they did better in schoolwork, and we really appreciate your show supporting us and other people in town like Five Star Pest Control really supports us.
Shelby's awesome. So, Robin, you jumped ahead a little bit because maybe some of our listeners don't know what Right Flight is. Can you give us a little history of what Right Flight is and what you guys do?
Roger that. We have a program started by officers at this very Air Force Base in 1985.
Anyone in particular we know?
Well, I was involved with that, that's for sure. And been doing it for about 25, 26 years. We have about 80 volunteers helping kids in the community. We have them sign a contract, young kids, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all the way up through high school. They raise their grades and pass a history of aviation exam that talks about the Air Force, people like you have in this audience right now. If they pass a history of aviation exam, raise their grades, they get to fly an airplane, actually fly an airplane. So we had Sarita School and Quail Run Elementary this weekend flying airplanes over southern Arizona.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Who's supporting you? Who's helping you fly those airplanes?
We have the Five Star Pest Control. You know, a little airplane's called a bug smasher. And so
The nickname of little airplanes.
Yeah, little airplanes because the bugs hit the windscreen. Well, Shelby Hawkins and Five Star Pest Control, they smash bugs in a different way. They terminate termites and they, croak roaches. And so if anybody in this city needs some good pest control from the premier organization in town, I think that helps fly kids. So every time you use Five Star, it helps fly kids. Jim Click supported us. We have support from the Cassiopa Foundation, Karen Yosa Foundation. We have a lot of local small business people to support us and local pilots and volunteers.
Now, who are the guys up there flying the kids, flying with the kids?
We have about 20 volunteer pilots. We have four of our own airplanes, and we have people that have their own airplanes and come in and fly.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. So these kids that are in your program, do they all typically go on, well, not all of them, but do a lot of them go on to a career in aviation?
I'd say not most of them go on into a career in aviation. Many of them do. We actually have sponsors now for our program from kids who started flying like 20 years ago, and now they're pilots.
That's awesome.
You know, and some of them are in the military, but most of them have a greater appreciation for aviation, a greater appreciation for the military in this community. They learn about air power, about Jimmy Doolittle, about the Tuskegee Airmen. They learn about women in aviation. So once you have a better appreciation for aviation, you might go into an aviation career field, but you also know that it's something you probably should support because it's helped make our country free and stronger, and it's also a great career field. Any kid that gets involved in aviation when they're young, 11, 12, 13, they usually stay involved, and then they get a good job in the aviation career field.
Now, talking about support, there's a way that people can do a monthly give. Anybody in the community can do that. And also, anybody who wants to support Right Flight, where do they go for that information?
That's great. I really appreciate that. We have a website, rightflight.org, and it's Right as in Wright Brothers, so WRIGHTFLIGHT.org. But you go to that website. The Wright Brothers first flew in 1903. So we have a lot of supporters, and I thank the people in this audience that are doing that. And I'm looking at one now. Thank you so much every day, sir,
every month, sir. Absolutely.
$19.03 once a month on a credit card, and that helps us fly one kid. It costs us about $20 in gas to fly one kid. So every month, you're helping one kid fly. So it's a great program. You can go on to our website and take a look, and then if you have a kid that's interested or a school that's interested, there's also information there for that. So thanks to you guys and the community that's helping us. Really appreciate being on today. And I was a member of this squadron for about 7 years. It's gone way downhill since then, but I think they're coming back because we have some really good pilots. We have some really good pilots here today. So, but I really appreciate the chance to say hi to your listeners and have them endorse RightFlight.
All right, very,
very
good.
Cool. So on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking to some of those airmen who are increasing the quality of flight in Tucson, Southern Arizona.
It's much better now. They're much better than we were.
All right, folks, so stick around. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back for more on Friend Jet Flight.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronson. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And, Jeff, we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to the show on iTunes. And we are sitting. Do you have anything to say? You're just, like, sitting there.
No, because I am no longer going to tell everybody that they don't just have to go to iTunes to get the show. Come on. 70-some percent of people with phones out there have Google phones. They can go to Beyond Podcast and get the show, too.
Okay.
There's no way you cannot get the Fred and Jeff Show unless you're just absolutely tired of listening to us fight on the air.
That's very good reason for no longer listening to the show. So we're sitting in the middle of... Well, we are present.
You're standing.
We are present in one of the gems of our community.
I don't think... This is probably the first time you've been taller than me since we were in what? Like, you were in 8th grade and I was in 7th grade?
Maybe.
Is that when I had, like, the growth spurt?
Maybe. I don't recall.
Anyhow, continue.
So we are sitting in the Dragon's Lair on Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. At Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
And Fred, what is the Dragon's Lair?
I don't know. We should ask someone who might know. But with us are some folks who might know. We have Captain David Nagel from the United States Air Force, one of our cool A-10 pilots. And also Senior Airman Riley Whitaker, who I heard during one of your conversations off air that he's Airman of the Year.
Yes, sir.
All right. So
Airman of the Year. Riley, how'd you score that?
I have no idea. Doing my job.
Doing your job and not being a jerk, I think someone said earlier, right?
That's what somebody said.
So, Riley, where are you from?
I'm from Ashland, Ohio. It's a small town in Ohio.
Yeah? Anywhere close to Cleveland or...
It's about dead center between Cleveland and Columbus.
So you're a big Cleveland Brown fan?
Not at all.
No.
I was actually born in Mesa, Arizona, and so I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, Diamondbacks fan. Arizona State University.
Oh, the show is over. Our next guest is. You went to ASU, or are you just a big fan of ASU?
Big fan.
All right. And where did you go to school?
It's called Lake Erie College. It's a small school in Northern Ohio.
In Northern Ohio, okay. And what'd you get your degree in?
Biology.
Biology?
Yes.
And that sets you up for a career in the Air Force, being a biologist?
No. Not for what I'm doing right now.
How did you make the jump from biology to airman?
Well, my dad was in the Air Force. It's kind of a family tradition. I got cousins and stuff in the Air Force, and I've always wanted to do it. I love airplanes. I love the military, so figured why not just join the Air Force.
And what's your day job in the Air Force? What are you doing all day?
It's called weapons. I load weapons. I fix weapon systems, so stuff like that.
What kind of weapons?
Bombs, guns.
Stuff attached to the planes.
Yes.
Very fun. How long have you been doing that?
It'll be 2 years in April.
And how much longer do you want to do that? Now that you're Airman of the Year, I mean, that's
as
big.
As far as I can go.
As far as you can go. All right. Good for you. So you said your dad and your uncles, you got family in the Air Force?
Yes, I have three cousins in the Air Force. Two of them are Guard, and one's active duty, stationed in Texas.
Any pilots, or are you guys are all support?
Yep.
Good for you. And this is what you've always wanted to
yes.
do? So here you're in Tucson, the little city of Tucson, Arizona, mm-hmm. at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and you're from Ohio, little town in Ohio. What do you guys do for fun here in Southern Arizona?
Well, me and my wife like to go to movies a lot.
Yeah.
I go hiking with a couple friends almost every weekend.
What's your favorite place to hike around here?
Right now it's the Rincon Mountains. We go up there quite often. We're actually planning an overnight hike soon.
Very fun.
should be fun.
Very different from where you're from.
Yes, not flat and no trees.
Not fun. That's very true. Do you guys do anything for the community?
Yes, volunteer as much as we can. I'm actually trying to do a Wounded Warrior project.
Tell us about that.
Soon. Well, I originally tried to do like a paintball event, but that kind of fell through. So right now I'm trying to do a golf event on base. I'm going to set it up through there.
Now, are you just trying to recruit the guys and gals that work here? Or you
anybody that can get on.
Anybody that can get on the base? And it's not hard to get on base, is it? I mean, Fred and I just rolled right in here, you know?
It took us, a couple times around the ring around the Rosie we played?
Yeah, we rolled up to your front door. A nice young man with a big gun asked to see our IDs. We were glad to show him our IDs. And then they said, no, sorry, you can't come in today. So then they made us go to another place where they said, sure, you can go in today. So it's got to be hard to get on here. That's not a bad thing, right?
No, it's actually a good thing.
So when are you trying to put your golf tournament together for?
I'm still trying to get some things together, but probably in the fall.
Good. Well, when you do that, let us know. We'll help you out. You know, Fred is, I think, Fred, what are you, like a 3 handicap?
I actually aerate golf courses. That's my my best skill.
I always say I like to golf because it's where you find the best cigars and the best bourbon on a golf course.
Or tequila.
Or, well, in Fred's case, tequila. Well, good for you. Good for you. You know, the reason I asked you that question is I know that a lot of your peers do a lot of things that support mm-hmm. the folks that live in Southern Arizona. So you're not just here doing a job. You're actually here being, member of our community. Yeah. Yeah. So when you get out of the military, going to head back to Ohio? Are you thinking about maybe sticking around?
I'm probably actually going to stay in Arizona.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe go and roll up at ASU and get yourself a big maroon and gold sweatshirt,
yep.
little hat. A little Sparky tail or something.
Sounds good.
Keep going.
if you go to our website and there's a picture of you like sort of graffitied in some ways.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah, you may be our first and last guest that went to ASU.
Or is actually contemplating going to ASU.
Oh, yeah, is actually contemplating going to ASU. That's true. All right, we'll give you that. Good for you. Well, you know, we really, really appreciate everything you do for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And your family as well. Mm-hmm. Now, are you second generation? Your dad, you have your grandparents?
My grandparents were... My grandfather was in the Marines, and his brother was a bombardier in World War II.
No kidding.
So it's just military in general's family tradition. So
good for you. Good for you. That's great.
So well, Ian, why don't you go straight in and you went and got a biology degree instead of going straight into the
year? I want to go to officer school. So I wanted to get it and then come in... Enlisted to get some more, feel the ropes, know the job a little bit better, know the area.
Well, that's good. So what do you want to do eventually?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know all the officers' jobs out there, other than pilot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's very good. Well, good for you. And you're married?
Yes.
Kids?
Actually, there's one on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
My wife's 4 months pregnant.
That is outstanding. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. All right. Well,
I want to explore something because, you know, a lot of our airmen are very modest. But I really want to know, you know, when they read the award of Airman of the Year, what kind of things do they list, aside from not being a jerk?
And doing your job.
Volunteer. They listed a bunch of volunteer stuff.
Like what?
I helped at the air show last year. I've helped at a golf tournament, and they also put in that I'm trying to get Wounded Warrior stuff done, and then I help out at my church, so I try to do as much as possible.
Good for you.
Yeah, one of the things that people don't recognize is that there are, about 5,000-6,000 airmen on this base at any given time. Obviously, there's a lot of people being deployed, there's people coming in and out, there's different missions here on base, but there's a lot of the airmen are out in the community doing stuff. And it's not just, you know, they're focused here on their activities on base or for the military. They're supporting the community in a lot of different ways. I know when my kids were in the Boys Chorus every year, we'd see airmen at least 3 or 4 every shift working the tree lot during Christmas time. So, I mean, they're doing all sorts of stuff all over the community.
So, Fred, what's the connection with the airmen and the Boys Chorus of Tucson?
You know, I don't know if there's any specific connection, but what I do know is that there is actually specifically a volunteer coordinator on base who sort of you know, people call the base, say, hey, we need some help with something, and they have a supply of folks who go out in the community and help out.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the reason we're out here talking with you guys today is we really want to demonstrate, we want to let people know that you guys bring a lot to our community. I mean, we bring guys in from New Jersey and Ohio, and you guys are here to do a job and to learn. But at the end of the day, you bring a lot to our community. And by way of interviewing you today, we want to say thanks. So thanks for what you do, Riley. Yeah, keep it up.
We'll do.
Yeah, what's next? Airman of the Year, now what?
Officer of the Year.
All right.
All right, write it down. Look at Spidey over there giving you the thumbs up. That's great, man. Good for you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, so we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. But before we do, Robin Stoddard from Right Flight is offering the Airman of the Year, a 2013 Ghosts calendar. Beautiful. You want to do this? Hold on.
We have a beautiful calendar for the Airman of the Year. Plus, anybody that calls in, if Fred or Jeff wants them to, we have two extra for some sort of a trivia information question or however you want to do that.
So, okay, so that was Robin's half-cock thing. But we'll tell you how you can get a hold of one of these great calendars on the other side of break, so stick around.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
And the bourbon. Don't forget the bourbon.
Why didn't I get anything to taste while
Here in this, you know what, Fred? You know what you need to do?
You know, I was
you need
putting
to explain to all of our listeners where we are.
Okay, so while I was setting up all the equipment, you guys were sitting at the bar having a cocktail or two.
And what bar are we sitting at, Fred?
All right, so we are currently, this is actually, we are sitting in the middle of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in what we love to call the Dragon's Lair, but I think officially it's called the Heritage Room.
You're sitting not at a bar, but at a heritage room, as evidenced by the pictures on the walls of aces from World War II, including a Medal of Honor winner, and then lithographs of the planes that these folks flew, which is A-10s and F-105s and F-4s and F-84s and F-80s. This is one of the best fighter squadrons in the history of America, so this is a heritage room dedicated to them.
And which squadron are we talking about, Spidey?
The 357 Tongue-Licking Dragons. They're a dragon with a big tongue coming out, and they were called the 357 Tongue-Licking Dragons. They were feared by the Germans in the European theater.
Okay, wow. We were talking to Robin Stoddard.
Right.
Who?
Robin Stoddard, ex-fighter pilot extraordinaire, retired fighter pilot extraordinaire.
I was in this squadron for 7 years.
Yeah.
This was... and still is the best squadron in the United States Air Force. And we're very fortunate. Lieutenant Colonel Gabriel and Colonel Blanchard allowed us to come to this space today. So we want to thank them and Davis-Monthan Air Force Base because this is an amazing place. There's a lot of heritage in this room. And this place has trained probably 1,000 attack pilots.
Wow.
1,000 attack pilots in the last 30 years. Cold War, Desert Storm, and the current War on Terror have made themselves proud, and they have not lost a single jet of person in this squadron or trained in this squadron.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So as I'm sitting here looking at you, Robin, over your shoulder is this massive bar. Where did that come from?
This is the effort of the pilots in the squadron and the airmen in the squadron as well, who got together and said, you know what, we have a heritage room. We're dedicated to making sure the American military heritage of the Air Force is remembered. But also every once in a while we come in here and we debrief. So, you know, the best way to debrief a fighter sortie is to do that as they did in World War II with a Red Cross alcoholic beverage in your hand. That's not official policy anymore, but it was in World War II.
And so now it's mostly a Kentucky alcohol.
Well, it sometimes, but actually in World War II, every pilot that came off a mission was given a whiskey ration prior to debrief. So that's why some of the stories probably were a little better than they should have been. But it's something we don't do anymore. But when possible, some of the pilots will come here and they'll grab a soda, they'll grab a water, a light libation, and they'll talk about their mission. And this is where many fighter pilots learn many, many great techniques to keep them alive and protect the troops on the ground.
That's awesome. That's great. Thanks, Robin.
Excellent.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, stick around. Stick around, Robin.
All right.
So with us, we were talking earlier to Senior Airman Riley Whitaker.
Airman of the Year.
Airman of the Year.
Riley Whitaker.
Airman. And with us now is Captain David Nagel, who is call name Fife.
That is correct.
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm from Point Pleasant, New Jersey. I've been in the Air Force about 8.5 years now.
Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Where is that in relation?
It's on the East Coast, kind of halfway between New York City and Atlantic City.
And on the break, we were talking about your mm-hmm. family. Your family got
yep.
had a little bit of a time with Hurricane Sandy.
They did get hit pretty hard, but it's recoverable. They're going to make it, but it wasn't pretty.
Hmm.
No.
So now, do you have family in the military, or are you first-generation military?
I do not have any current family in the military, but my grandfather did spend about 30 years on active duty and retired in the New Jersey Air National Guard. That's kind of where I get my influence to join the Air Force. We used to go to McGuire Air Force Base a lot and to the Atlantic City International Airport, which is where the New Jersey Air National Guard is headquartered.
So you grew up watching planes and flying in planes.
Absolutely, yep.
So it's always been your dream to be a fighter pilot?
It has, yeah.
Really?
Since I was young. Yeah, I guess I started flying in 1995. I was 15 years old.
And what were you flying in 95?
Bug smashers, as Spidey talked to before. So Cessna 152s, 172s.
And just kind of cruising around the airspace over Jersey?
Around. Yep. Jersey, we'd go up the Hudson River all the time and, you know, see downtown Manhattan. And lots of times down south towards Atlantic City, things like that.
Good for you. Where'd you go to school?
I went to college at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach, Florida. So it's a small engineering aviation college. And from there, I did about 2 years of civilian stuff before I went active duty Air Force.
Now, did you always want to fly the A-10? Or was
not initially, no. But I knew I wanted to head in that route, so like halfway through pilot training. You kind of get rack and stacked amongst your peers, and you go fly a T-38, and that leads to a fighter-bomber track. So I wasn't initially dead set on the A-10, but once I started in that second half of pilot training, it was kind of a pretty easy choice.
You know, I want to ask you a question, mm-hmm. Captain, because one of the things that we talk to young kids about all the time is trying to understand your talents mm-hmm. and where they would fit in to a vocation. And you seem to have known what your vocation was at a very young age.
Yeah, I guess I got lucky. I don't know how or why. I know I think I was in second grade. My mother told me that I wrote a paper about being a pilot. So it was a long time ago.
But you think your grandpa had a big...
Absolutely, yeah. So we would go out to McGuire Air Force Base, play golf all the time. And he would take me around different parts of the Air Force Base. So it was there from an early age.
Wow. So when was the first time you were deployed?
In 2009. With the 74th Fighter Squadron.
And where did you...
Air Force Base, went to Bagram, Afghanistan for just under 6 months.
6 months you were in Afghanistan. Wow, you saw a lot of stuff.
I did.
A lot of stuff. And you know, Spidey, or Robin Stoddard, you were saying earlier, is if we got the opportunity to talk about these young men being deployed, it was very important.
Yeah, it's. I was in Afghanistan myself, 2002 and 2004 and 5, but... Captain Nagel here is one of the best fighter pilots, and he has stories. He might say the word tick. Your listeners don't know what a tick is, but it stands for troops in contact. So I'd say just ask him about that when that happens.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about that.
Nice segue, Spidey.
So troops in combat.
So troops in contact.
Contact.
So it's when friendly forces are receiving effective enemy fire and potential exists that they maybe can't get their way out of it. So the JTAC is an individual who's embedded with those mostly Army forces or Marine Corps forces, and that's a joint terminal attack controller. So a certified airman or Marine Corps individual who can control airstrikes from close air support airplanes. So they'll make the call and get some aircraft overhead to help solve the problem for the guys on the ground.
And you guys did that a lot when you were in
Afghanistan. We did that almost exclusively, yeah. So we do... lots of troops in contact stuff, lots of high-value target type of weaponeering, some another instance where I dropped a bomb on an IED that was in the road that was unable to be, safed by the guys on the ground. So we dropped a 500-pound bomb on that specific IED in the road.
And what's an IED? An
improvised explosive device.
Okay, so it was a mine.
Some of the enemy forces are burying in the road. So as you see vehicles drive over this road, then they'll either command wire or use some sort of cell phone device to set this IED off.
You were there for how long?
Just under 6 months in 2009 and about the same time in 2011.
Did you ever have a chance to come in contact with the local folks?
Not particularly. They kept us behind a few different fences as far as having the total number of A-10 pilots and the total number of A-10s there, and they wouldn't really let us outside the wire.
Hear any stories from your contemporaries about how the locals felt about you guys?
For the most part, the locals received us very well, and we're happy that we were there, especially in the community directly around Bagram. So with the forces that we had there, the coalition, the joint forces, so obviously multinational stuff going on, they'd send a lot of forces outside the wire around Bagram to help with that specific community. Once you got further outside of Bagram, the interaction that you would have with some of those civilian populations decreased, and since they were so far removed from some of the larger cities and larger civilian populations.
And there are more bad guys out there too, right?
They're everywhere.
Yeah, boy, the service that you provide to all of us is just amazing. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate what you do.
Yep.
Well, we are moving into our final break of the morning. And I think Spidey wanted to give away one of these calendars. So the first person who emails me at fred@fredandjeff.com will get a beautiful 2013 Ghosts calendar, which features real pictures. I mean, they're photographs of some vintage aircraft that are fixed and flying in the air.
They have to email you the number of the squadron we're at right now. So if they email you that, they get the calendar.
So if they email 357, they get it?
What up? Yeah, you got to let them know, though, how to pick it up.
Oops,
yeah,
sorry.
Some of your other guests, too.
Yeah, Jeff is famous for telling people what the answers are.
God.
So we'll take this quick break. When we come back, we'll keep on talking to Captain David Nagel.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, where you can check out all sorts of our old shows, see pictures of stuff we're up to. I think Riley Whitaker's graffitied photo will be prominently displayed.
It should be.
Somewhere in the front page of the website. But we are actually really blessed today. We're sitting at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in the Heritage Room of the 357th Fighter Squad, also affectionately known as the Dragon's Lair. And we've been talking to, Senior Airman. I always want to get the title right. Senior, because we can. He's not only Senior Airman.
He's Airman of the Year.
Airman of the Year, Riley Whitaker. And
boy, we're going to get a lot of play out of that, Riley. You know that.
Sounds like it.
Jeez. And, we had the Airman of the Year on the show, Fred. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's going to take us up a couple notches.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
to heck with these fighter pilots. We had Airman of the Year on the show.
Yeah, but his picture is going to be heavily graffitied.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and we also with this is Captain David Nagel, also known as Fife. So we've been talking about the missions. All the stuff going on in base. One of the things that we really didn't focus on is, girls love a pilot.
Which girls?
The girls.
Yes.
So, but there are...
You've been watching too much Top Gun.
I probably have. there's thousands of airmen here on the base, and only a small fraction are actually pilots. The rest are support, and their mission is to support not only, you know, the troops, the pilots, but those are the guys who do a lot of the heavy lifting here, making the pilots successful.
Okay, I agree. I mean, so was that a question or a statement?
No, I was actually hoping that Riley would go, yeah, man.
Listen, he's Airman of the Year for one big reason.
He's not a jerk.
Gets along. And he's got Dave sitting over there, who's a pilot, kind of smiling at him, but also thinking,
okay,
listen,
well,
sonny.
Well, let's throw David under the bus. So tell us how important these guys are.
It's, you know, we don't support the guys on the ground by you know, dropping ordnance and things like that and neutralizing enemy and threats unless we have weapons that are put on the jet. So it's really hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. So when Airman Whitaker's loading up 500-pound bombs or 30-millimeter or rockets or Mavericks onto the jet, you know, he knows that those are going out to support our friendly, not only American lives, but our coalition partners. There's obviously a lot of countries that are supporting the war in Afghanistan right now. So he's doing a huge part. We come back with nothing left on the jet. It's usually a pretty good feeling that we've got the chance to employ that ordnance in support of our friendly guys on the ground so that they can make more bombs, put them back on the jet. And it's a good feeling that you're able to support those guys and know that you're getting the job done.
Well, and that it worked.
And that it worked.
That's always a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know. You hit the button and nothing happens. We're going to talk to Riley when we get back, but you haven't had to do that
yet.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
No,
that's awesome. Yep. You know, and you know, one of the other things that we haven't really talked about is the role of the very, very prominent members of our community who are members of the DM50. And Fred, you're one of those guys.
Yeah, well, you know, the DM50 is a business organization that supports the airmen on the base,
right?
But we're here to celebrate the airmen, not the DM50 guys.
Darn it.
Yeah, you're not going to make me fall into that trap.
Folks, you just witnessed why Fred was such a good politician.
Yeah.
Very good.
So you know, one of the things that we were talking about during the break is that, you know, not only do the airmen provide a great service to our country, but their spouses, significant others are here with them as well, doing a lot of things in the community, supporting us. David, you were talking about your wife during the break that she's...
Yep. My wife, Jamie, she's a physical therapist at Tucson Medical Center. She's worked there for, I don't know, I guess 6 months now, and we were stationed here in 2006, and she was down at St. Mary's, just south of I-10, so she was a physical therapist there as well. You know, yeah. So she's worked in the community for a while now.
And you guys have kids?
We do. We have a 4-year-old son, Andrew, and a 1.5-year-old daughter named Audrey.
Little people.
They are little people.
Really little people.
Yes.
Good
they
for you.
They take up a lot of our time.
Yeah, as they should.
As they should.
Yeah, that's the Absolutely. Whole reason, you know. That's great.
Yeah, Raleigh's going to be experiencing that pretty soon.
You'll notice he took a big swallow before he said that. Riley, we're having a good time at your expense today. You all right with that?
Seems like, yeah. We're fine with that.
Sleep now.
Well, so go ahead, Fred.
I was going to say one of the things we wanted to get on the air is, you know, some stories from you, David. Sure. You know, a lot of stuff goes on in theater, around base, in the community, and we want people to get a sense of, you know, the kind of things you guys are up to.
A good example, I guess, is from the current war in Afghanistan. Was there, like I said, in 2009 and 2011. And a day in particular, it was Easter Sunday, and it was a really nice day. We were getting ready to launch towards the Korangal Valley and the Wadapur Valley, which is up in northeast Afghanistan. And right before we were walking out to the jets, they scrambled two F-15s. So those guys were sitting on alert in case something bad happened and they didn't have enough assets airborne to go to that mission right away. So those guys ran out the door and scrambled to the exact place that we were going to. So we met up with those guys about 45 minutes later, and the F-15s left, and we checked into a pretty big firefight. So artillery was coming down from one of the forward operating bases, landing in the hillsides of the Wadapur Valley. And what it was a convoy of six Army vehicles with an American JTAC, all U.S. personnel, and they had been ambushed in the Wadapur Valley. So they drove north up the valley, and they were hit from the south in a small little town there. And they were hit from the west off the high terrain. They were hit from the east off the high terrain and were kind of surrounded really on all three sides with those guys trying to do their best to get out of there. So we got on station and had them deconflicted ourselves from some of the artillery fire that was going on. And we had a problem with our radios that day that we weren't able to talk in some of the secure radio fills that they had. So we had to have the guys on the other end turn their radios to a plain language. So essentially what you hear, everyone else could potentially hear, which also happened to be a Pakistani music station. So every time we broke line of sight towards Pakistan, we were hearing, just like on any other radio station that plays music.
Britney Spears?
Yeah, it wasn't Britney Spears.
maybe the Clash.
Yeah.
It sounded, very Pakistani, I guess.
Very foreign, right.
Very foreign. But as soon as we got below the terrain, we were able to hear the JTACs down there. Excuse me. And so they were telling us where they were taking fire from. There were some helicopters on station, OH-58 Kiowas from the Army. So we were able to integrate with them. They were able to mark some of the locations of where these guys were taking fire from. And we were able to drop four 500-pound bombs, much like the ones that Airman Whitaker would load up to the jet, and they worked flawlessly. And then we found another location where they were being shot at from the west terrain, and we were able to employ the 30-millimeter gun on that high terrain right there, and to the point where we could get our friendly forces out. And the only injury they took was an RPG hit the top of one of their up-armored Humvees that knocked the turret gunner out, and he had a concussion. But for the most part, we spent about an hour there just taking care of these guys, making sure they were able to retrograde and get out of this ambush. And about an hour later, they were able to do so by some of the things that we did in the
outstanding.
Show.
Good for you guys.
We learned it all right here.
And, I think that's something that Lieutenant Colonel Stoddard, Robin, was alluding to during one of the breaks, is that you guys learn how to fly these planes here in Tucson.
Yeah, this is the home of the A-10.
And you're not logging a lot of airtime up in the skies. You're spending a lot of your time.
2-hour chunks. Two to 2.5 hours is the sortie duration. And, the students here in the formal training program do about 42 to 45 flights of 2 to 2.5 hours. And then that's it. They're mission ready. They can do their next flight in Afghanistan.
But you're spending time in the simulators, too,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
How much time do you guys spend in the simulators?
They do about almost 20. I think it's about 20 simulator sessions that they're doing in conjunction with classroom, hands-on throttle and stick trainers, so like desktop trainers. Computer-based training that they also do.
And that works.
As well as the flights. It works very well, yeah.
It blows me away that you can sit in front of a computer screen with a stick and something in your left hand that you pull like the brake in a car.
Yeah, the throttle. Yeah.
The throttle, right.
the goey thing.
But, the right one foot. Thing with the button, Yeah. And that's what teaches you guys. That's how that helps train you guys. And as Robin said before, you never lost a plane or a pilot. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's got four or five different types of, we've got computer-based training, the simulators, the classroom activity, and then, of course, the flights, and then just being in the squadron is another way that these guys are kind of putting it all together.
And it works.
So
when people look up in the skies in southern Arizona and they see an A-10, you guys out there putting in your time, learning how to do that, what do you want your neighbors to think?
I want them to think that it's not just wasting taxpayer or government money or something like that when they see all these jets that are out there flying around. It's instructors and students going through a six-month program, dropping inert weapons, dropping live weapons, shooting the 30-millimeter gun so that we can then take those skills, put those guys out into what we call the CAF or the Combat Air Force, and then be on a 48-hour hook, if you will, to go and deploy worldwide in support of anything that United States government wants us to execute, predominantly now Operation Enduring Freedom, and then a few years ago Operation Iraqi Freedom. So we're training here to be ready to be deployed at a moment's notice
to protect
go and protect and defend freedom and democracy for not only ourselves but others worldwide.
That's outstanding. Thanks for what you guys do.
Welcome.
Thanks a bunch. I mean, and we really, really, really want to say thank you again to the folks, the good folks that made it possible for us to sit here in the Heritage Room today and drink your bourbon and eat your peanuts, because it's been well worth the time.
Right. Yeah, Colonel Blanchard, who is the boss of the whole shoot and match here at on base, and Lieutenant Colonel Gabriel, who's your commander.
He is. He is the 357th Squadron Commander.
And
the guy that tells you to go out every day and not do anything stupid.
Yes. Bring my jets back.
There you go.
And we also want to thank Jessica Casserly, who helped us set this up.
Thank you.
And she's sitting across the room. And also Captain Simmons, who's been babysitting us, making sure that we're not getting any trouble here.
He's texting on his phone the whole time over there. He's looking for scores or something. So we got one more thing to give away here at the bottom of the hour, and it might be a an evening cruise in a plane with Colonel Stoddard, right?
A sunset flight for one of your listeners that calls in.
No, they have to email me.
They have to email you. I apologize for that.
Email Fred at fredandjeff.com.
Correct. And the question is, what is the exact location of the Wright Brothers' first flight, what time of day, and what year?
Do they need to know how much fuel was consumed in this flight too, Robin?
No, that's less than the bourbon you drank tonight. So
that's a tough question.
So Kitty Hawk, South Carolina,
right?
Yes. No, North Carolina.
Or North Carolina,
but there's a specific geographic reference, a hill. So they have to mention the hill that it was near.
Okay.
And how far the longest flight of the day was.
All right.
You guys decide if they're accurate or not.
All right.
We'll do it because I don't think
that's
we know.
That's where air power began.
Well, I know it was 1903.
Yeah.
Right.
1903. We have the greatest air force in the world. It started in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
All right.
The question is, how far was the longest flight of the day and at what time?
All right. And the winner gets a sunset flight.
Sunset flight for two over the southern Arizona region.
Perfect.
In a
thanks.
Wright flight airplane.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys, thank you again for what you do. You make our community great. You make our country great. And we really, really appreciate spending some time with you today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's it. We got no more time here on the Fred and Jeff Show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.